In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, Exodus, the fourth chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever noticed just how similar Moses and Jesus are? If you read their biblical accounts, the similarities practically jump right off the page. Just look at their infancy, their baby narratives. As soon as Moses was born, his life was in danger. Why? Pharaoh, king of Egypt, feared that the large Israelite population was so big that they could easily overtake Egypt and enslave the Egyptians. So, he ordered that every son born to the Israelites be drowned in the Nile. But God had plans for Moses. So working through Moses' mother, God preserved his life. And in a remarkable turn of events, Moses ended up being raised in Pharaoh's household. Now, fast forward to the time of Jesus. When Jesus was born, his life was in danger. King Herod, we learn from the wise men, they had known when the Messiah was to be born and where the Messiah was to be born, in Bethlehem. So Herod, hearing this, feared that this newborn king could overtake his throne. So he ordered that all male children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, be killed. And they were. But God, of course, had profoundly important plans for Jesus. So working through Jesus' mother and father, God preserved his life. And in a remarkable turn of events, they took him to Egypt and stayed there until it was safe for them to return. Do you see the similarity? This didn't come about by chance. These are all similarities that have the fingerprints of God on them. You want to see some more fingerprints of God in Moses and Jesus' life? Look at the mission God gave them. Who is Moses that we should be mindful of him or care for him? He has no status, no form, no majesty, no beauty among the Israelites, especially since he was raised in an Egyptian's household, Pharaoh's own household. And then, what's more, Moses runs away from Egypt and from the Israelites. He is absent from them some 40 years. 40 years! The same amount of time that Israel would later wander in the wilderness. And for 40 years, what does he do? He works as a shepherd in Midian. So given all that, why would anyone regard Moses as a prominent choice of God for a deliverer? Even Moses is shocked that God would choose him to deliver Israel from their slavery. Did you notice in our reading for tonight, verse 10? But Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue." What about Jesus? Who is the Son of Man that anyone should be mindful of him or care about him? As Isaiah says, he has no form or majesty that Israel should look at him, no beauty that they should desire him. Why? Jesus was a Nazarene. And you know what Philip said? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Even his hometown of Nazareth mocked him, saying, "He's the son of a carpenter." The scribes protest his miracles, saying, "He's possessed by Beelzebul. And by the prince of demons, he casts out demons." And the Pharisees, they cry out against him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." Given all of this, why would anyone regard Jesus as God's prominent choice for a deliverer, the Messiah? God's choice of Moses and Jesus flew in the face of Israel's expectation in almost every imaginable way. But God's thoughts are not our thoughts, nor our ways his ways. God sent Moses and God sent Jesus just like he sent Jesse's son David and the leading persecutor of all Christians, Saul, who later became Paul. Only this God would choose someone like Moses to lead Israel to freedom. Only this God would choose someone like Jesus to redeem, to deliver mankind. And as unlikely as they seem for their missions, both proved faithful. Moses went to Pharaoh and spoke the words God had given him, and God even worked great signs and wonders through him to deliver Israel from their slavery in Egypt. Jesus faithfully taught and preached, saying, "I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak." And he did great signs and wonders because, as St. Luke says, the power of the Lord was with him to heal. But not just to heal. No. As Peter, James, John, Moses, and Elijah found out on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus had come to perform an exodus of his own. He came to free the world from our slavery to sin and to death and to the devil by being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Remarkable, isn't it? It is remarkable just how similar Moses and Jesus are. But for all their similarities, there is one key difference. Sin. Moses saw an Egyptian taskmaster beating a fellow Israelite. He got mad, and in his anger, he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Strike one. Then, when God told him to go to Pharaoh, Moses was resistant. He protested. You heard some of that tonight. He offered excuse after excuse why he should not go. "I'm a nobody. They won't believe me. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I just don't want to. Send somebody else, God." Strike two. And even when he did go, after they were freed from Israel, Moses disobeys God's word again. Rather than talking to the rock as God commanded, Moses struck the rock twice. And God said, "Because you did not believe me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land that I have given them." Strike three. You're out. All of that is to say that Moses is a sinner, just like you, just like me. Moses himself needed a deliverer. But where Moses failed, Jesus succeeded. He was tempted by the devil not once, not twice, but three times. He was tempted in every way that Moses, Israel, you, and I are. And yet Jesus was without sin. Even on the cross, when people were mocking him, he did not get angry at them. No. He prayed for those who persecuted him. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And he did not strike his enemies down and kill them. No. He allowed them to kill him. Jesus loved them. He loved us unto death, even death on the cross. And Jesus didn't bury his enemies in the sand. No. He was buried in the earth for them. For Moses, for Israel, for the world, for you. And through that one act of love, God did something, not just for Israel, but for the whole world. God delivered us from our slavery to sin and the devil. Because Jesus, the Son, has set you free. Not with gold or silver of some national currency, but with something far more precious. With His holy, precious blood given and shed for you. And if the Son sets you free, then you are free. You are free indeed. So now there is no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the wages of your sin may indeed have been death, but the gift of God in this deliverer, in this Jesus, is eternal life. For the blood of the Lamb that was smeared on the posts and the lintels of the cross has now been smeared on the posts and the lintels of your heart. On that blessed day, on that happy day, on the day of your baptism, when God said to you, receive the sign of the cross on your forehead and on your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. We would be lost and condemned forever unless delivered from sin, from death, from the devil. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for the sins of the world, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life with their everlasting God. Moses is deserving of our appreciation and respect. But Jesus deserves our reverent worship and praise. Moses may be seen as a role model of faithfulness and dedicated service to the Lord. But Jesus is the Lord who came to serve us and give His life as a ransom for many. Moses' love is limited, but Jesus' love is limitless. For God shows His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Moses is a fellow sinner who on Sunday morning, if he were here, would just join his voice with yours in confession, saying, I, a poor, miserable sinner. Jesus is the Savior of Moses, Israel, you, me, all sinners. O Israel, O people of thy God, what a blessed difference between Moses and Jesus. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your perfect deliverer. Now and forever. Amen.